strong. You are great, and you are the most high. Almighty God, Holy Father,
the Spirit of God is once more testifying of that place of perfect life, perfect peace, perfect joy. He's testifying of a realm where we can find our consolations for all eternity. Heaven and earth will pass away. Heaven and earth, this present world, as we have known it, is passing away on a daily basis. But there rests and remains a dimension that never, never changes. And this is the place the Spirit of God is testifying of today and gathering us into. Praise God. If we can see this place of life, if we can see this place of love, if we can see this place of joy, we will be like Jesus, who confessed that I am not of this world. We begin to walk upon this earth as strangers upon this earth. I might be in this world, but I'm not of this world. But rather, I am of that which the Lord has revealed to me. Rather, I'm of that which is perfect, eternal, without flaw. Praise God. I'm going to start off from Hebrews chapter 11. I can't read the whole chapter, but let us remember that Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter that deals with, you know, the men of faith. Examples of men of faith. Men who, you know, had a positive testimony because they were able to believe on the invisible one. See, these ones were able to see things from afar off by faith. Embrace these things and confess that they were strangers upon the earth. I start from verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to return, to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Praise God. Now most of these men of the Old Testament, Abraham, Noah, all these men of faith, who had this positive testimony upon the earth, in reality, none of them entered into this promise as at that time. Why? Because they did not have the fullness of the revelation, that grace that has been extended to us today through the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Now, these people were not mindful. They were not mindful of that city out of which they came out. See, they were not mindful of that city that they came out from. If they were mindful, they would have had the opportunity to return. Praise God. But today we are, by the grace of God, mindful that we came out of that New Jerusalem. We came out of that heavenly model. We came out of that celestial perfect kingdom of God, that country. And we are returning there, you know, to that country. See, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, now we have the grace extended to us, making our paths plain. Making our paths plain so that we can, you know, enter in into this heavenly country. Sit and abide in that heavenly country. So you see, we who have this revelation become like strangers upon the earth, pilgrims, because in reality we are not of this world. So if your eyes are open to truth and to reality, you discover that all that is in this world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's all vanity. See it? And like John the Apostle says, those that have these things in them do not know God. See it? So all that thing is not of God. So that is of this world, and you know, we are being gathered out of this world today. Praise God. So we must now begin to, by faith, to walk in relation to that heavenly model. Embrace it by faith and walk in relation to it. See, it's hearing that we can enter in into that celestial city, which we call the New Jerusalem. It's the new heavens, the new earth, which the Lord has prepared for those that love him. See, that same call that said, Abraham, leave your country, leave your people, leave your all your investments, leave everything that you've ever known and follow me. I will lead you on into a greater inheritance and I'll make you fruitful. So that same voice is the voice of the Spirit calling us out of the nations today, the nations of the earth. Calling us out and gathering us into that celestial city where we can once more know the fruitfulness of the life of the Spirit. God told Abraham, I will make you exceedingly fruitful I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Fruitfulness comes only in the Spirit. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So you can see the gospel is just the same thing all over and over again. See, leave your people. See, Abraham from then onwards started to live in tents. A pilgrim. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, it's only as we put on this mind of being pilgrims and strangers upon the earth that we can truly retain our perfection in God. Jesus Christ once said, let your treasures be in what? In the heavenly places. Don't let your treasures be upon the earth. See, where moths and corruption and all that ruins and destroys and mars. Rather, see, let our eyes be single towards that country, that heavenly dimension, that invisible realm that He has prepared for us. Praise God. See, as long as we have our affections on the things upon the earth, we keep entering into problems. See, we keep entering into difficulties. Because these are the things that kind of corrupt us and, you know, stain our garments, our spiritual garments. Hallelujah. The other day I was in Turkey and I saw a group of Muslims going for their Hajj. You know, it's a pilgrimage kind of thing. And I saw all of them in their white garments. See, both men and women, age, young, all of them in white garments. And as you see, as they moved on in that simplicity, I truly admired them. See, and I was beginning to see in the Spirit that is the way we should walk as Christians. Or rather, I would say, that is the way we should walk as the elect of God. Hallelujah. When we walk in that manner, in the simplicity of the faith, you see it, humility, you notice that some of those people who were in that crowd, the pilgrims, some of them were millionaires, some of them were important men, I could tell. See, but they all came together in unity, one purpose, living beside everything that they have at home and what they think they are, what they've achieved in this world, and in the unity of the faith, all head towards that pilgrimage. In likewise manner, we must let go of all the attachments we have in this world. Now, it is a gradual process, and it's only possible through continuous prayers and fellowship with God. You can't wake up one day and say you will leave everything. You can't. See, before you know it, you'll be back from where you started. You can't try it. It all comes by praying, a life of prayers, watchfulness, and continuity in the fellowship of the faith. Then one thing leads to the other. So you cannot just jump the ladder, jump the line. You must go step by step. Oh, praise God. If I have a job, it's for the moment. See, it's for the occasion while I wait on the Lord. While I patiently await that promise, that precious promise. See, if I have a big car, it's for the occasion, for the moment. See, because I know that the time comes where I enter into the reality or a consciousness where everything that I ever need is catered for by the Father. Now, this was the original, you know, design before we lost consciousness of our oneness with God. So now, original design, everything works out spontaneously. See, there was no need for thoughts, no need for worries, and all those things that we are occupied with here as men. See, but when we lost that consciousness, that is when we started to struggle, have big bank accounts, saving for tomorrow, and all these things that we do as men. Praise God. But I tell you, there is a dimension of perfect oneness with God. There is a dimension of perfect love. There's a dimension where you know that everything that you ask the Father, He does for you. It is real, brethren. These things are true. It's not a fallacy. It's not a fable. Hallelujah. That is the new world, the new country that these men of faith were looking for. This is the dimension that Jesus Christ has come to gather us into this consciousness of perfect security and peace. See, but to have that life, we must live the life that we have here. Praise God. To enter into that flawless life of the Spirit, we must let go of our life here upon the earth. See, I was reading an article by a brother in America, and he was talking about climbing a mountain. When you climb the mountain, what happens? You let go of the everything below. You can't climb a mountain and continue clinging on to that, what is below. As you go up in the mountain, even those rocks, everything that you meet along the way, you must let go of it to move higher. See, in likewise manner, to go higher into God, into Christ consciousness, to ascend into that city that is set upon the hill, there must be a continuous progression into the Spirit. Letting go of our, dependence on our understanding, on our calculations, and letting go and believing in the Father. It comes spontaneously by growth and fellowship. Continuous growth and fellowship. You see, no matter the disappointments we have, no matter where we are climbing the mountain at times, you might kind of sleep a little. When you put yourself together and carry on moving on. So there must be a continuity, a move, so that we can obtain the promise. We're not called to hear. We're not called to be preachers. We're rather called to obtain the promise. To enter in. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see it? It's only as we loosen ourselves and let go of all the attachments upon the earth that we can truly rediscover our immaculate form, that perfection, that consciousness of light that was all lost in Adam. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you go to the book of Revelations, chapter 3, Revelations chapter 3, or rather I'll go to Revelations chapter 7. Sorry for that. Revelations chapter 7. It says, after this is John the Apostle describing what he saw in the heavens. Now all these are visions that pertain to you and I. See it? God is giving us a snapshot of you and I standing in the perfection and in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now these things are real. See, there's a place you can come to where your worries are over, where there is no more sense of sickness, no sense of fear and, worries about relations, about people who have gone beyond and all those things. Everything becomes clear, plain, crystal clear, and you stand and you reign in love and in life. It is real, brother. It is real. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who seated upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, who are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which have come out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lord, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. All tears from your eyes. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more anguish, no more tribulation. See, no more insecurity, all these things that you've suffered in the world. See, you come to this place where you are healed of all your hurts. What your parents did to you when you are young. What your family members did to you, what your children did to you, what your brother did to you, what your sister did to you. See it? These things that you suffered, everything, you are healed of these things as you come and stand before the throne. See, when you discover your white garments, see, which is your consciousness, your immaculate consciousness of pure light, a spiritual consciousness that is flawless, blameless, perfect love, light. Hallelujah. See, but to discover these things, you must let go of the life in the flesh, which is the life after the old Adamic man, which is the life that has its attachments to this present natural world. Bear in mind that John the Apostle was seen into the Spirit. That thing that John the Apostle saw is purely spiritual. See, the gathering is in the Spirit. The gathering is right there, right now. And multitudes, millions, billions, uncountable, innumerable, they are gathered onto that invisible presence that spans eternity to this very day. Paul is in that number. The Lord Jesus is in that number. Peter is in that number. See, many, many other brethren are in that number. You never can tell your relation that you thought was a sinner might be in that number. They are standing there presently. Hallelujah. And the good news is not just for those who have died. See, to stand in that place is not solely for those who have died. You can stand in that place right now. You can stand with that white garment right now before that throne, exhibiting the glory of the Lord. That is why Paul says that we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. The gathering, the celestial gathering, see it, of the redeemed of the Lord, of the perfected spirits, innumerable angels, innumerable spirits that have been perfected by the blood of the Lamb. And we are gathered. Hallelujah. Paul was speaking of the present, not when he dies. Hallelujah. We are all gathered, both those who are in the heavens without physical bodies and those who are with physical bodies. We are gathered into that same presence. Hallelujah. And we stand with that garment of pure light and perfection. Hallelujah. See, but we must wash our robes. Let go of the attachments upon the earth. Hallelujah. The robes that are stained, the robes which have to be washed, are the is the garment of the consciousness of the flesh. See, that is the consciousness that we put on in Adam, or the consciousness that we put on in ignorance when we walk after the flesh. It's the consciousness of the flesh. And as long as we walk in that consciousness, we are defiled. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord says that their mark is not my mark. Their mark is not my mark. They have taken another mark. Hallelujah. The mark of the flesh. See, flesh stained garments. Oh, hallelujah. Jude mentioned this in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. I just read from verse 20. Jude says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted with flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. When you read this thing, you think it's as if Jude probably read the revelation of the Apostle John. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, but you see that sin of the perfected saints standing before the throne of God, it's all over the Bible. You see it even in the book of Daniel. The redeemed of the Lord. See it. They have washed their robes that were stained with flesh. See, your material sense of life, the carnality, see, that belief that you are human, that you are mortal, that you have a sense of belonging to this world, you have to purify yourself by the regenerative power of the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost, continuously praying in the Holy Ghost, fellowshipping in the Holy Ghost. See it, and he reveals truth. He reveals your true form, your spiritual body, which is adapted for a spiritual world, not this present world. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's only then that you can find yourself back in that garden of all power and all glory and all bliss and everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jesus Christ once says that I am not of this world, I am from above, you are from beneath. That which is from beneath is those who walk in the flesh. Hallelujah. It is the flesh that defiles us. See, all the warriors today fight over inheritance in the families. We've seen these things. Envy. All these things is because of a sense of belonging to this physical earth. But it's all vanity. Racism. It's all because you feel that you have a white body, or you feel like you have a black body. See, people don't know that even racism goes beyond black and white. In Africa, we see, you know, hatred among tribes. One tribe who feels superior to the other. So you can see this thing is more than just a white and black thing. It is the darkness of this age that causes this intolerance and hate. Why? Because men live in a mistaken identity. Men live thinking that they have a sense of belonging to this world, to a geographical location, to a physical entity, or whatever. See, but all that is lies, hallelujah. And lies, because simply that they are forgotten from where they came from. Now we are beginning to remember that we came out of that country, of that celestial city, hallelujah, a spiritual kingdom, hallelujah. Pure spirit, pure light. See, and by this revelation, we enter back. By the revelation of ourselves, by the revelation of who we truly are, our true forms, our true spiritual body. It's not black, it's not white, it's not male, it's not female. See, it's not French, it's not white, I am English. See, I've been to France several times and I discovered that even the French, they kind of have a, how do I put it, a complex towards the English-speaking people. When you go to France and you speak English, they treat you, you notice that they want to feel, they want to kind of speak French back to you to show that probably the French language is more superior to the English language. So if you look on the political scene, the French and the English, they are always in conflict. Why? All this is just vanity, simply because you think that probably you have a sense of belonging to this physical world, and that is all. It's all mistaken identity, it's all vanity. Hallelujah. So we must let go of everything. You become a stranger, a pilgrim upon this earth. When you begin to confess like Christ that I am not of this world. When you begin to recognize from whence you came out, your true celestial city that abides eternally forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, for your families upon the earth, you begin to realize that those things are just momentarily for the occasion, for the moment. But they have no eternal value. There's no such thing as like a brother or a sister or a mother or a father after the flesh. All those things are just illusions. Hallelujah. Now you just look back in history, thousands and thousands of years ago, how many generations and thousands of generations have passed this earth. And all those, their unions, family unions, and all those things dissolve with time. Praise God. See, but when you are elect, you begin to understand there is only one family, and that is a spiritual family in the heavens. Praise God, you have one father, and that is God. You have one mother, that's the mother of Jerusalem, and the brothers and the sisters. Hallelujah. Now, when you get this revelation, now, your brethren or your family members after the flesh will not hurt you anymore. They can't get to you anymore. Once you have entered into that consciousness of who you are, they can only hurt you when you are living in that consciousness of the flesh. When you are walking in a mistaken identity. Jesus Christ once said, In that day, that is in the day of your awakening, no one will be able to take away your joy from you. Some of us have been hurt grievously from parents, from brethren, from brothers and sisters. See, but in that day of your awakening, when you are waking back into the consciousness of Christ, when you are waking back into your true kingdom, your true state from the foundation of the world, knowing who you truly are, none of those things can get to you anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have to come and remember that we are just passing upon this earth, strangers. Strangers. Paul says that the things that we see are what? They're temporal. They're momentary. But the things that we do not see are what? Eternal. Hallelujah. True to the saying, do we see Paul today? Do you see Paul? Now, if you want to see Paul today, you have to see him after the Spirit. Hallelujah, because he's there. Praise God. Even John the Apostle said, wrote in his apostle in his letter in 1 John, so that the world is passing away and the lusts and all the feeling in the world is passing away. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Now, do we see John the Apostle anymore? Is he anywhere in the flesh anymore? Hallelujah. We don't see him anymore after the flesh. See, but he was aware of that. He had already embraced the invisible. He had already embraced the gospel, and he realized the truth of his being. And I tell you today, John is standing in that eternal life of God, doing the will of God. John is standing among those who are gathered before the throne of God, doing the will of God, serving the Lord day and night, standing before his presence in white. Hallelujah. That is the eternal life. This present physical form and things that we see, everything is dissolving, changing and everything, but we have something that is eternal and stands forever. And that is our kingdom, a kingdom. Jesus Christ says, I give you a kingdom. I give you what? A kingdom. Not a kingdom that can be moved. An eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. A kingdom where you shall joy in the liberty of the Spirit. Joy. Hallelujah. Eternal joy and gladness. Freedom for the hurts and the pains and the tribulation that this life has to offer. No more tears. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing. Even we that fellowship among one another, brethren, we have to put on a bit of spiritual intelligence. So you have discovered people who start off in the faith with good intentions, fellowshipping with great zeal. When they hear this message and they are all zealous and on fire, but you go back to that fellowship within a couple of months or a couple of years, you discover that the fellowship is torn apart with great divisions and great, you know, the brethren are hate, you know, they don't see eye to eye anymore. This one has taken on that doctrine, that one has taken on that doctrine, and all kind of things have happened along the line. This brother was caught in fornication, this one did this, this one did that, this one said this, this one, you know, went for that type of a fellowship. You see, and this thing continues over and over again because the brethren are not working wisely. And even Jesus Christ himself, at certain times, he had to disperse those he ministered to. Do you know that? At times, a leper or somebody who had, he had healed would come to Jesus seeking to follow Jesus. And Jesus Christ would tell him, look here, my man, you go to the other cities and go and declare what the Lord has done to you. When Jesus Christ gathered the people to give them bread, the multitudes, and he multiplied the loaves of bread, after feeding them, the Bible says that, well, he dispersed them. Hallelujah. Likewise, manna, we have to be spiritually wise at times. There's a season for everything. See, some of us get hurt when things begin to fall apart in fellowship. Now, look, you do not expect a fellowship to be there forever. This is a momentarily. Obviously, if Jesus was a man with his in the frame of, you know, frame of the mindset of a natural man, after feeding the thousands with the loaves of bread, he would have probably built tents around there and told them to return there daily after daily and daily after daily. Now, when you do that, before you know it, they begin to fight one another. Before you know it, this one begins to say, this is the way you preach, this way is not right. before you know, they begin to argue. The one will say, look, the lion represents the devil. The other one will say, no, the lion represents the lion of the tribe of Judah. See, idleness begins to set in and quarrels begin to set in. So that is why when you have delivered the word and you have ministered to the best of your ability, there's a time to step aside. Even Jesus Christ said it in the days of his ministry that I must go. Hallelujah. God might use you as a messenger to bless somebody, but bear in mind that the idea is to bless the guy and to move on. The idea is not to tabernacle there. Hallelujah. It's very important. Because the moment you tabernacle there, you now begin to have a sense of belonging to that system. And you begin to forget that your system is not of this world, but rather it's in the heavens, in a spiritual place. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas had to separate at a stage. At times, apostles, even with the good word, have to go their separate ways. You do this thing intelligently, so you don't have begin to have petty quarrels over tabernacles, petty quarrel over this, over that, petty quarrels over things that are just foolishness. That is idleness. This one says that this he believes that he preaches this way. This one believes that he preaches this. Look, you must understand that the most important thing is that everybody knows the truth. You might present the truth in different ways and whatever, but the important thing is that everybody knows the truth. Hallelujah. You don't begin to stay there and begin to fight and argue. You move on. I remember there's something in the book of Kings. There was a certain prophet that was told to go and prophesy against an altar, I think in the days of Josiah. I can't really remember. And the prophet was told to prophesy at that altar and to not stay in that place, in that city, not to stop along the way, not to eat along the way, but to prophesy and to move on in another direction. Praise God. God never told the prophet to abide there, to stay there. But rather the prophet should move on. After prophesying, my man, move on. Don't abide there. Don't stay with them. Don't fellowship with them. See, I'm giving you clues here, things that will make you, that will cause you to maintain your immaculate garments as you walk along in the faith. Because you're going to meet situations along the line that will tempt you. See, and when these temptations come, if you're not wise, before you know it, they will rob you of your victory in God. So this man of God went there, he prophesied against the altar, and everything that he prophesied came to pass, and they all knew he was a man of God, and they all, you know, kind of reverenced him. Somewhere along the line, the king persuaded him to stay and wanted to honor him and to take, he refused. And he moved on, but along the line, another prophet meets him, an old prophet, and spoke to him, and this young prophet succumbed to the words of the old prophet and remained in that place, eating with this old prophet against the word of the Lord. The Lord had told him not to abide in that place, not to eat, not to remain, but to move on. Hallelujah. And somewhere along the line, the young prophet was destroyed by a lion because he disobeyed the voice of the Lord. Brethren, in the course of ministry, in the course of fellowshipping, remember that fellowships don't have to abide, be there forever. In that form, of course, we fellowship eternally forever. See, a gathering might not have to be there forever. You might have a fellowship in that location today, it might not be like that tomorrow. Hallelujah. When a bird makes a nest, lays her eggs, covers the eggs hatch, she caters for her chicks. When the chicks are mature, they all fly out and leave the nest. The idea is that people get to know the truth and enter into maturity. It's not like people should remain under us, so we should kind of form a name or some kind of system for ourselves. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. See, when you begin to walk as a stranger in the spirit, at times people cannot pinpoint you. They can't understand you. Hallelujah. You can't understand the ways of a spiritual man, the man of the spirit. You can't understand him. See, because he dwells in the spirit. He abides in the spirit. He walks in the spirit. Praise God. You might not understand him. You cannot understand his movements. But he sees everything and he understands everything. For the spiritual man is able to discern all things. Hallelujah. So we must learn to walk as, how do I put it? You know, strangers upon the earth. Strangers. See, just remembering that we have our own city. We have our own world, our own dimension. See, that we're just here momentarily. And while we are here, we can just act as good ambassadors. Just doing the will of our Father in heaven. Revealing truth. Testifying of our kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Testifying of the goodness of the Father. Testifying of the abundance of life, of the love, of the liberty of our kingdom. Praise God. It's only as work as strangers upon the earth that we can keep ourselves, you know, from the wickedness that is in this world. See, James says that pure and undefiled religion. See, is to visit the widows, the fatherless, and to keep oneself from this world. Abstain from this world. Not to walk according to the course of this age, the wisdom of this age. For it's just lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. See, be ever mindful that of where we came from, brethren, hallelujah. Ever mindful of the truth. Because that which is not the truth will all dissolve. Hallelujah. Jeremiah says that those that trust in the flesh shall become like fools at the end of the day. So the things that you trusted in, that you looked onto, that you labored for, all these things, you discover one day that they all evaporate. Hallelujah. So we are all strangers. Let us continuously, you know, keep our garments white. White. Hallelujah. Like I spoke of the example, that beautiful scene I saw at the airport in Turkey. I saw these thousands of Muslims in white garments. Hallelujah. Simplicity. White garments. Just white. Empty. No makeups. No nothing. You know. It just points to the simplicity of the faith when we walk in the spirit. Continuously in white garments. Let our garments always be white. See, letting go of the vanities of this age and trusting God who is able to, hallelujah, to provide for all our needs. To, you know, protect us. Hallelujah. For we have promises for not just the life that is to come, for also life that is in this present life, this present world. He has given us promises here to keep us, to maintain us, to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. For he's able. That same power that sustained the thousands and the millions over the ages in the wilderness and whatever is the same one that is present today And he will never, never turn his back on those who turn their back on this world. That's why he says that he's not ashamed to be their God. Hallelujah. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Hallelujah. A city that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. Hallelujah. A realm, a dimension that the natural man has not seen or heard. The beauty and the glory has not been comprehended by man. He has prepared that for us. God bless you, brethren. Amen.
You are great.